All right, so we have a Q&A for the next, 40, 45, something like that. We'll try to get through as many questions as we can. Thanks for sending in questions. If we don't get to them, sorry, you can see one of these guys and complain. Real quick, why don't we start on the end there, Brianna, if you want to introduce yourself, tell them where you're from.
It's on. Yeah, I know. My name's Brianna Sterned. I am from Calvary Chapel, Mobile, Alabama. My husband and I moved there 7.5 years ago from Southern California, and so we are used to the Deep South now, sort of, still.
Hi, I'm Kevin McCarthy. I'm the worship leader at Calvary Chapel, Merritt Island. And what else you want to know?
Do you tell people that Malcolm is your father-in-law?
I don't lead with that, no.
Who does your hair?
It's a secret.
Hey, I'm Nathaniel Perea, and I lead Calvary Chapel. I don't lead Calvary Chapel. I lead worship at Calvary in Charleston, South Carolina.
And I'm Bobby Sanford at the Rock Church in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. So we'll see you when you're on vacation.
I'm Holland Davis, and I lead worship at Calvary Chapel San Clemente. I'm also the senior pastor, so we have a great worship budget.
It's amazing how that works, huh? Yeah. I'm Matt Houston, worship leader here at Calvary Stone Mountain. I've been here since 2011. Wow. I was 4 years old, so just, it's amazing.
And the director of?
Director of CBI, middle school pastor. Oh, my father-in-law is in the back. Yeah, there he is. If you know James Chapman, he's my father-in-law. I hope that's not why I got my job here, but maybe. I'm sure he had something to do with it, you know? That wasn't a slam. You guys thought that was a slam? That was. Hey, so first question. This first question is actually in honor of Allie, who, you know, had her baby. She couldn't be here today. She wanted to know your biggest fail in worship. So you can kind of see where Allie's heart is. And
I got a pretty good one. I fell onto the stage.
You fell on stage?
Yeah, I was walking up, you know, a little side wing. And, you know, everybody crowds like, is it time to go? And they're like, yeah, okay, go. And my feet got tangled in my backpack. And I literally did like a push-up on the stage. And I was just like, hi.
While you were leading worship?
No, I didn't have my guitar yet.
Kevin's a show-off, yeah, doing push-ups.
Probably my biggest fail. We were using, I see one on stage, Podgo. And it's like a guitar synthesizer, you know, guitar multi-effects pedal, and you use it for electric guitar usually. But there's guys who sell IR packs for acoustic guitar, and it helps your acoustic guitar sound mic'd and all that, which is great when it's working as such. But I was flipping through something mid-song and accidentally switched to an electric guitar patch. It was just me on an acoustic doing like, you know, What a Beautiful Name, and then all of a sudden it's just, dun, dun, dun. That was one of those I literally stopped and was just like, excuse me, sorry, hold on.
I actually do have a story of falling down. That's why I was asking. What, during worship, back in the day, I used to be very animated when I was a lot younger, and I would jump up and, you know, so when, sorry guys, but I used to do all kinds of, I mean, one time I did like a Pete Townsend, and I did this, and I had all everything going in different directions, but anyhow, I did one of those at a New Year's Eve celebration. I got a little excited, and I did fall down, not just on the stage, but off the stage. And so I was told never to do that again, and I haven't since. That cured me.
All right.
The other two have never messed up.
Never failed.
Too many to talk about, really. There's not enough time.
My most recent was Good Friday. I started the song in the wrong key. And not only did I start it in the wrong key, but it was half step off, so it's not like I could turn to the band and be like, hey, it's C sharp or whatever we were in. And then I had a pad going behind it that was really off key, and everybody just started coming in and playing, and It was just really strange. I thought how everybody was out of key but me. That's kind of what I made it look like. I was like, man, these guys got to get it together. But I adjusted quickly, you know, like I found the key they were in the wrong key, and I fixed it. It was all right. Left Maddie hanging, I did. Poor Maddie. Everybody's saying, poor Maddie. I said, I know. Yeah. All right, here's a good question to start. We kind of talked about it earlier a little bit, but how should a musician, worship leader, et cetera, prevent burnout from playing on the worship team? What are some ways that you guys have taken or seen or some advice you've given to members on your team?
I think if you're in the position of a leader, of a worship leader, it's, I guess, being aware of that, being aware that this happens, and, you know, I try to be very conscious of not, you know, a lot of people come and they're very gung-ho, they're like, put me on every week, I'll do everything, and I'm like, okay, you say that now, but you're going to last a month and you're going to burn out. So if you're in the role of a worship leader who's scheduling your team and doing that, being aware of that, putting your team on a rotation, and just remembering that this is, the ministry is to the people, it's not a task, you know, it's not, mm-hmm. people are not a means to an end, but they are the ministry first, so your worship team is your ministry first, so caring for them and being aware that it can happen very easily. So for us, we put our team on a rotation, and we don't schedule people every single week.
Yeah, and I would say, because in addition to that, like if you are at a church where you maybe only have like one drummer, you'll be better off in the long run having a drummer every other week or so than having one drummer for 6 months and then no drummers after that. So that's kind of the again, like the practical side of it. The spiritual side of it, the advice I would give to, like, maybe if you're here and you're like, you know, I'm starting to feel that burnout, I would just encourage you to just stay in God's word daily, because mm-hmm. it reminds me of, like, when you read through the Old Testament and they have the temple, right? And there's you know, the priest would go in and fill up that oil so that the, you know, the candles would not burn out, right? And so it's like that idea of the Holy Spirit being poured out in your life. And I think that it is a key to longevity in mm-hmm. in serving in any capacity. But especially, like, you know, the worship ministry, I think, and teaching and some of these other things where there's a little bit more of a sometimes like a drain to it. In my opinion, I don't know if it's just like physically, like the stage presence and all of that kind of stuff it's a little bit more taxing, in my opinion, sometimes. And so I think it's just all that much more important that, you know, especially if you're going to be in a church with a microphone, you better be in the Word all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just to kind of add to that, the whole idea of the oil, you know, having it being filled constantly. And, you know, we're commanded in the Scripture to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when we minister from the overflow of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell when I'm not spending time with the Lord. I can tell when I'm not being refreshed by the Holy Spirit, because I start to feel drained, because I feel like it's taking from me, it's not adding to me. And so I always look at that as indicative of my devotional life with Jesus. Am I spending time with the Lord where I'm allowing Him to fill me up and to refresh me and to give me new vision? And, you know, am I operating on the old, you know, what I had 10 years ago or 5 years ago or last week? Or is it new? You know, is it fresh bread? Am I getting revelation from God every day? And that's the blessing that we have as believers. We have access to that. And so it's taking advantage of that. And that's something I've learned to really guard. I didn't used to guard it, but in these last years, I've guarded it since we've pastored. And I really guard my time with the Lord. And it hasn't gotten less, it's gotten more. And the busier I've become, it's actually gotten more. I've said, you know, I can't do all the stuff I have to do unless I spend time with the Lord.
That's great. How do you recruit new team members?
Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
You know, it's good when you have a wife that will sit with different people in the church, because then they'll tell you, oh, that person can sing, or that person can do this, or that person can do that. And I do believe that God gives everything you need to your local church. And you say, well, we got a small church and there doesn't seem to be much there. Well, then you have what you need. You know, you have what you need. You don't need to have a team that, I mean, my rule is there has to be more people in the chairs than there are on the stage. I've been to some churches where there's more people on the stage than there are in the chairs. And, you know, so it's what God provides everything that you need. And so it's learning to get to know people, spend time in relationally with people, connected to people to find out what the needs are, what you have available to you. And then as you grow, have a way to bring them in into the ministry.
Yeah, for our church, we have more kids than adults. So sometimes there was just tons of kids out there in the seats while the worship team was playing. I'm kidding, no. but many, many years, it was just me, you know, and the Lord would be growing the church and things, but I was waiting for the heart of who was coming in and really spending the time, and people would say, oh, I can sing with you, because they just thought, oh, poor you up there. And I was like, all right, let's have dinner. Like, let's talk about this, and really wanting to know their heart. And there were a lot of times really gifted people came along, but their heart for the Lord and their devotion time, their priority of the Word of God in their lives, it just wasn't there, and the Lord was needing to grow them. And so I just knew, okay, Lord, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. And then where our team is now, it is. This is the season the Lord's had, and we've just been waiting for it. And even on Easter, we had the whole entire team up there, and I was just like, this is what you've done. You've brought them in according to your time. And also acknowledging for myself, you were preparing me as a leader as well. You knew what I could handle at that time, also as a pastor's wife and a mom and all the things. And the season we're in now, it is like, it is slow to come to this, but the beauty of seeing what he's done and the team he's brought and the unity has been beautiful and glorious to his hand, you know. So I just encourage you, like, keep waiting, keep praying, and the Lord will bring it in time. And he has those people he's, you know, building up or doing something in the church they're in now, and he's going to bring them to your church. And so just trust in his timing.
Yeah, and if you have, like, I always, like, I tell the worship team, because we have two services, and so one of the kind of the standards for our service is for our musicians is that they need to be in the chairs for one of, I don't care, first service or second service, but you cannot sit back there for both services. And part of that is that we as worship leaders need to, in terms of answering the question of like basically how to recruit volunteers is, and I like what you were saying about it's the heart of the volunteer. You need to know the person and their love for the Lord first. And then when they're like, oh yeah, and I was playing at some coffee shop, you're like, really? Tell me more about that, you know? But you're not going to get those kind of conversations if you're like hiding out all the time or, you know, tucked away in the green room or something like that. So you should be part of the church as a worship leader, as a worship ministry, be in, you know, with the body. Because worship teams can get kind of clicky sometimes, so don't do that.
Yeah, that's really tough. You don't try to be clicky, but it just happens, you know? Like, you get used to what you have, and you really like the camaraderie, and hey, we're not looking for more, you know? I think when the worship team is small, the appearance is, oh, they're so small, they need me. Mm-hmm. And then when the worship team is big, they're so big, they don't need me. And so one of the things we try to do once or twice a year is I don't do auditions. I don't hold an audition meeting, at least at first. But one of the things that we do here is offer up an informational meeting on worship team. If you have any interest in worship team, even tech booth kind of stuff, we're going to hold an informational meeting. I give them 2 or 3 weeks in advance to know about it. So if they're on vacation, if they're visiting Bobby up there at The Rock, you know, they can come back from Dollywood and have time to learn about the informational meeting. And then at that meeting, I just spend about 30 minutes telling them what worship is about, what our worship ministry is like. We have two services on Sunday mornings, and so you're serving at both services. And I like to give them, as I call it, the expectations that we have. And so they know what to expect from us, but also what we can expect from our musicians and our singers. And we look for heart over talent. You do have to have talent. You know, enough, right? I mean, and so beyond that, though, I have a worship application. I want to see, first of all, are they going to even fill it out? I don't want to make it too long, but are they even going to fill it out, take the time to fill it out? And or are they just too good? You know, nah, you either, you know, use me or not, like, kind of thing. Okay, that kind of tells me where their heart is. Well, then I like reading it for a few days, give it some time, and trying to find out their testimony, you know, trying to find out, can they describe their walk with the Lord? Can they describe that they have a testimony with the Lord? And then beyond that, I set up a meeting. I try to do it on a Sunday or a Wednesday when they're here, just to make it convenient for them. And hey, let me hear you play guitar. Let me hear you sing and whatnot, and then go from there. Which leads me to the next question. How do you tell someone no?
We do an audition of in terms of, I want to hear you play, right? So I tell them, hey, prepare these songs, come out, and I want to hear you. You know, we'll pick a day for them to come out that works with their schedule. They'll come out and they'll play, and I bring some of the other worship leaders on the team and other musicians on the team to join me, and maybe an elder of the church or something like that, because, yeah, there's this weird thing where it's like, if they just sound like a coyote in a trash compactor, and you can't have them singing, like, there's no way that's going to work. It's a really weird dynamic, because you can't just say no, and it's like, but I'll see you on Sunday to listen to me sing. That's kind of a weird, it's very weird, at least for me. It's a very weird kind of a feeling. And so, and you have to remember that you are responsible, like, especially if you're like a pastor of the church, like, you're responsible for that person more than the talents that they have or don't have. And so, one of the things that I do is I have multiple people who listen in, so that if we have to tell somebody, hey, keep working on this, or I'd like to, and usually what I say is, I'd like you to work on this, and I'd like to hear you again in like 6 months or so. So you're not like telling them like, no, you're terrible. It's just, hey, you need to keep improving in this area, and give them some pointers and maybe coach them on it a little bit, just some practical things. But I like to have the group with me so that it's not like, you know, you want people to be able to hear the senior pastor, and you also want people to not have, I don't know, some sort of a thing against like the person who's leading worship, I think. Maybe I'm just passing the buck a little bit, but I like to have it to where it's like, it's not just my opinion, it's like, and I'll talk about it with the hey, what'd you guys think, you know?
Yeah, I think giving them feedback and why it's a no is helpful, you know what I mean? Because it may be that, you know, for some people, they audition and you're like, it's a no and possibly a never. And then for some people, maybe there's some potential, but I think it's good to give them specific feedback and not right now, and here's why. And like, I think that's really important. So anytime I say no to somebody, I'm like, it's these specific reasons, you know, this is the standard for the team that we hold everybody to. And if for whatever reason this is a challenge for you, then it's just a no for now. Or you just wait till they leave and you text them no.
Yeah. I think it's good to encourage them what to practice specifically, and I think even going as far as like take some singing lessons, I totally encourage it, because even for myself, when I started to play, my pastor's wife saw me and she was like, I think the Lord's going to do something, and I could barely play Light of the World, and yet that's what she let me play for the women's ministry, because that was all she had. But
did
also,
you know how to play Let It Rise?
I did. Let the glory of the Lord. Yeah, that was my favorite. So that now is a no, like what God wants to do, like the, and they saw something in me, and even like paid for vocal lessons and like encouraged me in that. And so too, prayerfully ask, Lord, I don't know, maybe I think the Lord wants to use your heart. You know, if they have the heart and they just don't have the talent yet, like, hey, keep practicing, give that to the Lord. He's going to develop that and he'll grow that, because they might be used somewhere. And then I also think sometimes being upfront, like I try to be just straightforward and say like, this is how we're gonna go. And I'm just gonna let you know, honestly, because I just don't want you to second guess what I'm saying. Cause that's usually what happens too with women, like male worship leaders, you could just be honest with the women, like they'll second guess all the things. So just tell them like straight up, here you go. It's not that I don't like you, but hey, work on this. Very helpful for women, just a tip for everyone. But but I try to do that too, because then there isn't second guessing when they go back, like, oh, well, she was trying to tell me she never ever wants to use me, you know, like I try to just say all the things up front so they don't second guess.
So when your wife says, how do I look in this outfit, you say, honey, we need to work on some things. Is that what you're saying?
No, you say, honey, you are beautiful, but that outfit is, the another one is on going something. To, yeah. Yeah, just make you shine today. So choose a different one. Yeah. Start with the compliment, then the critique, then end with compliment.
And one thing I forgot to add that I think is, you touched up on this, is that's, I think, critically important, is that if you're going to be like, hey, I'm going to go listen to this person sing or play guitar or whatever, maybe in the back of your mind, in case it is a no, because sometimes it's a no, that you also have a different position that they can serve in the meantime.
Yes.
That is even part of the worship team. I consider the pro presenter, our lyric operators, to absolutely be part of the worship team. They're at our rehearsals as well. And so, hey, while you're working on this, I'd love for you to continue to, you know, improve in your instrument, but we also could use help, you know, as a lyric operator. So you're not just telling them no, like, yeah, like you said, it's like, we can't use you right now. It's like, we can use you, but there's a different spot we need you for. The, you know,
yeah,
for
right like now. Children's ministry.
Yeah.
You've been sentenced to children's ministry.
Being serious, though.
Put them in
they
children's ministry.
Always worship. Need help, right? And it's a good place for people to get their feet wet.
Yeah.
Well, I like what you said, that someone saw something in you. And I think that goes back to us as leaders being led by the Holy Spirit and paying attention to those promptings of the Holy Spirit when the Spirit says, hey, pay attention to this person. You might not see anything in them, but then you pay attention to this person and then you'll see them kind of come along. We had a youth guy in our church that was a heavy metal thrasher, screamer, guitar player. That's what he was. And the Lord said, yes. And the Lord said, he's a worship leader. So I said, okay. So I came and I met with them and I said, the Lord told me you're a worship leader. And he goes, no, I'm not. I'm a heavy metal thrasher, you know, death metal. I mean, his favorite band was like Zao at the time or something like that. And then, and I said, well, don't do worship the way I do worship. Do worship the way you would do worship if you were able to do worship. And I'll help you. We'll arrange the songs. We'll do whatever. And so I called the youth pastor. I said, I found your next worship leader. And we put a set together. He led worship, and he became the worship leader of the youth group. Now he's Brennan Beeler's worship leader up at Regenerate Church in Idaho. He was with Hillsong in Miami for a while, and God has just taken him, you know, but it was a Holy Spirit prompting. And so pay attention. And so I invite people in. I don't do auditions because I don't know who's going to show up and I don't want to hurt people's feelings. And so I'll pay attention and I'll ask the Lord who should come on. And I've had people come in from other places and the Lord will say, that one, come on right away. And I'll invite them on and the Lord will use them. And it's beautiful. And so don't discount the leading of the Holy Spirit.
I had a lady years ago, she came to me and said, hey, I can sing, I want to sing, the Lord told me I need to sing. I said, okay, well, let's meet. And so I listened to her sing, and I thought, okay, that's...
The Lord lied.
Yeah. He said the Lord lied, if you didn't.
He didn't say it into the mic, though.
No. Oops. No, obviously, okay, well, this is interesting. And so I tried to give some of the same feedback, like, hey, you know what, go listen to some YouTube videos on singing and maybe take some lessons. And she just kept going and persisting, and so I kept trying to give some pointers. I didn't want to just reject her. I could tell she had a heart for worship. And then as I was talking to her, she just busted out in song and just started going again. And I said, oh, man, like, I don't know what to do here. And so I kept trying to steer in a direction, and she said, the Lord told me I need to sing. And finally I said, well, he didn't tell me. And so by that point, that's when James walked in. He says, everything okay in here? I said, I don't know. But, you know, you just, you want to be careful. You want to love people. You want to direct them. But then there are some hard no's sometimes, and it's difficult. Again, still trying to love them. And, you know, the lady stayed in our church. I mean, thankfully, and, you know.
Was that Allie?
It was Allie, yeah.
It's nice if you have the luxury of having a big enough congregation to have, like, a choir, because that's a great place to stick those people, because they can get their wiggles out, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anybody got choirs? No, okay.
I'm a big fan of choirs.
Yeah,
for
it's
that
cool,
reason.
But...
If you're in a choir, think about what he's saying about you.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Wait a minute.
Oh, boy. All right, shifting gears here a little bit, and I'm just going to put you guys on the spot. Thoughts? Now, look, they asked this, okay? Thoughts on women being the primary leader for a co-ed worship team? Brianne, do you have any problems with that?
Lots of problems.
Does Mike have any problems with that?
No, he's never had a problem with it. But I sometimes struggle with it just because I was under a male worship leader and I missed that male voice. So even for the longest time, I was like, I just want a male's voice. So I would ask Mike to sing with me a lot of times. But Mike fully knows the calling God has on my heart and the heart for worship and what he's used, and always knowing that this is the season now. He allows me to do it. And if the Lord says stop, then... and he brings along someone or raises someone up, we're always surrendering to that, you know, and Mike is standing on, like, this is who the Lord has, and this is who the Lord's leading, and just of the way the Lord confirms that for him, because, again, we're married, so, you know, Saturdays look crazy sometimes, but also what God does, and then the beauty of being able to rejoice in that at home is also sweet, as each and every week. But again, it's always been just the acknowledgement of, like, this is who the Lord has, and this is how we'll continue in until he says otherwise.
I sat under a female worship leader for years. I would still be there if she was alive. Like, honestly, I had no aspirations to, like, be the guy or anything.
It's Mary
and,
Barrett, right?
Yeah, yeah, she was awesome, and she was legit. And my pastor actually favors female worship leaders. Like, I can't do anything right, but but no, he just loves he
it's
loves
you
the
married
ladies
his daughter,
leading.
Man.
He just does, and no, that, you know, that's just, I have no problem with it. I think most people in the congregation don't. I know keys is a thing, like where you start a song. We were just, you know, we were writing a song where. We're thinking about how do we key this? Who's singing it? If the girl's singing it, we're going to key it here. If the guy is, we're going to key it different. So that's a thing. But, you know, we work through all that. There's no problem. I think ideally you always have a female and a male on the stage because you give everybody in the congregation a part to sing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the things we don't talk about with male-led worship versus female-led worship, that there is a difference. There's a difference in... the approach, there's a difference in what gets emphasized. I led worship for a ministry called Exodus International, which is helping people with gender confusion and helping them find freedom in Jesus. And one of the things that we recognized in that environment was the importance of the male voice. To have a strong male leadership brought equality to the worship that female-led worship didn't have. It wasn't that it was better, it was just different, you know? And I think we need to realize the difference in that. And so please hear that. It's not that one is better than the other, it's just different. When it comes to the role, though, of someone that's gonna be a pastor over worship, then, you know, from scripture, the scripture says that pastors are men. And because there's a difference in leadership with male leadership versus female leadership. And you could even see it in movements where the prominent leadership has been directed by women. There's issues and emphasis that are way different than when it's led by male leadership. And so I think, you know, biblically, from a pastoral level, I would not put a female in a pastor position. But having a female lead worship does not bother me. That would not bother me to have a worship leader who is female, because there is going to be a difference in the quality, what they're going to bring. They're going to bring a tenderness. There's going to be a compassion, a kindness to the worship that male leadership doesn't bring. Whereas male leadership will call people out. You know, like a man's going to come up and say, you guys cut it out and let's worship the Lord. you know? A female is going to say, I know how you're feeling, but we're together and we're going to worship the Lord. You know, it's different. There's just a different, you know, a different quality. And both are needed. Both have a place in the church, and both are important. But leader, when it comes to a pastoral position of leadership, that's when, you know, Paul says that the men are to teach and the men are to lead.
I think that's probably the confusion. We get asked this question often. That's the confusion with the roles of male leadership versus female leadership. And so I'm with you. I have no issue with a female worship leader. And Brian's going to lead worship here in a few minutes. So,
for me.
No pressure. Yeah, for you. All right.
I think even just really quickly, too, as a female worship leader, I acknowledge what I can and cannot do also. You know, like even Bobby led us in a word, you know, during in the middle of his worship set. And kind of like, I'm to usher you in, but not to teach you something. You know, like take a moment where a worship pastor should take on that role. And for Mike and I, he is our worship pastor because he is our lead pastor. And he takes that on too of like, having the heart for worship for our church, and then even in our worship team meetings, you know, he tries to come in and have like what the Lord's leading on, but he's that role, and I don't try to take that on too, which is good to acknowledge and separate as a female worship leader, you know, that I am surrendering to the Lord biblically of what line I don't step over, you know, because at the same time, he's going to use what I'm doing right now and where he has me biblically, and you know, teach his church in that way. And so acknowledging that is good.
Great. All right, how would you handle if someone in the congregation has concerns about certain songs or songwriters being used in worship?
Write your own songs.
What if they have an issue with you?
That's what we've been
doing. What if they have an issue with you?
That was a sneaky way of asking the Bethel question.
What that's all about.
Just write your own songs. Something you have to understand with what's happening in worship today, all the lines are blurred. Every line is blurred. Phil Wickham's written for everybody, Southern Baptist, Pentecostals, everybody, but he's from Calvary Chapel. So, you know, Amazing Grace is sung by everybody. You're going to quit singing Amazing Grace? If it becomes a thought of, well, I'm representing a church, because I've seen all the YouTube videos, I just don't want to get into that conversation. So I tell people, we're Calvary Chapel, write your own songs. You know, don't get in the fray, don't criticize, write your own songs. And if you do a song, like in the early days, we didn't know where songs came from. If it was a song that was biblically correct and it glorified Jesus and brought us close to the Lord, that's what we sang. We sang those songs. Truly, we didn't know where a lot of the songs came from. And then later on, we found out, oh, this song came from a Pentecostal group in Australia. And then it was, oh, we better not do that song. But we didn't know. And so if you keep it to the simplicity of, I'm just going to worship Jesus, it's biblically sound, that's what I'm going to do. And realizing that now some of these songs that are being sung on all these different platforms, they're all getting together at writing camps, they're writing together, so the lines have been blurred because it's big business now, and so they're just selling, you know, they're just trying to sell songs. And so almost some of those distinctions are becoming less and less obvious. And so the best thing you can do is write songs for your church. They don't have to be the, you know, go around the world, but if they minister to the people in your church, praise the Lord.
But if they do go around the world and Bethel gets a hold of it and sings it, then you'll have to stop doing your own song. No, I fully agree, though.
That is awesome. You know, they've never done Let It Rise, so I'm okay.
Okay, so how do you handle it, though? How do you handle when a congregation member comes to you and says, hey, I have an issue with this song?
Yeah.
What do you say?
It happens when I say often, probably once a year, I'll have somebody come up to me and they've watched a YouTube video or whatever. And you have to understand that those people are not, because I care less about, you know, the authorship of a song as much as like the lyrics of the song and the truths of the song. That's what we focus on. But of course, when people come up with this, you have to understand, first of all, they're not coming. You might interpret that as like, well, look at this, like legalistic. They actually care and they're concerned about it, and they want to, you know, they want to hear your thoughts. That's why they're asking you. So it would behoove you. It's a great word. It would be a great idea if you actually had a thought, like had a thought on this. If you're like, oh, I don't really care. We're just going to do them. That's fine. But you need to have an answer for those who do come, because they're coming with genuine concern. And so to be able to sit down with them and say, hey, I'd love to talk with you about that, this, and then tell them, hey, and this is true for me. Like, I've kind of wrestled with this too. And is this something we should be doing? But then as I looked into it more and, you just kind of share your heart with them. And I think at the end of the day, they appreciate that you've thought about it and that you have, you've thought it through,
Yeah. Thinking about it, it's like being very intentional about bringing new songs in, I think. You have thought about it. If you really scrutinize that song for all of the things, is it theologically perfect and does it sing? And so, yeah, you will have that answer. That's good.
I was even just checking on a church website recently, and under the worship section, the worship pastor had a PDF on the specific subject. And I thought it was smart, because he didn't have to repeat the conversation, but it showed he had thoroughly thought about it. Here was his heart for worship. Here is their take on it and how they're going to approach these songs. And it kind of, people are always like deep diving on your website. And I was like, that's so brilliant. Like, it kind of already addresses it for those people who are wondering, and it's right there. And you just, so I'll probably copy and paste it. So
you also have to think about why you don't do certain songs as well. People will come at you with that. Why don't we do, and you have to have thought that one through. If it's a really popular song that other churches are doing, people are going to ask, why can't we do this song? And you have to have your reasons for not doing that, if you don't do it, very well laid out and be able to present that.
And I would also just caution you to read through, we said this a couple hours ago, but like read through every song without music that you're going to do at your church, and just read it, like, because the music has an influence on the way that you kind of interpret what's being said, right? So just read through it. And also, if you're going to do a song by somebody, by a Bethel or someone like that whose doctrine is, never mind, you need to be aware of their doctrinal beliefs, because those things aren't, I would say most of the songs that are written, in my opinion, most of them are theologically fine, but there are some that are not, and it's usually coming from those groups. So if you're going to do it, that's fine, but just read through it and make sure you know what you're about to sing,
Well, and this is kind of what Holland was talking to you up in the songwriting. It talks about like clarity within the song. Like, there can be some songs where they say something and like, well, I know what I mean when I sing that, but I don't necessarily know what you mean or how the congregation would take that. And so I think just kind of backing up on that, it's making sure that it's very clear what you're saying is clear, because there can be some confusion where people can come up and be like, I don't think that's right. And it's just a difference of interpretation. So making sure that those songs are very clear. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw this, it's a video of the Reckless Love, right, guy. I forget his name.
Corey,
anyway,
Hansberry.
Thank you. Anyway, he has to
from
stop.
Bethel.
Yeah, he has to stop in the middle of the song, turn his hat around, pull his phone out, and read this thing he wrote explaining the song. If you have to do that, you just took people out of worship. So
you're behooved to have to do
behooved.
That.
Behooved. Yeah.
You've been behooved.
You have. So, yeah, you shouldn't have to explain the song. It should be so tangible. I've had recently a congregant come up to me and say, Not in our church. He had been kind of church bouncing, but he said, sometimes I just don't sing certain lines because I don't believe that. And I can't. And I'm like, wow, I never want to be the guy that's trying to put those words in your mouth, ever.
Yeah, that's great. I think, too, like, no matter where you stand on it, some people are all Bethel, some people are no Bethel, fine. That's for you to wrestle between you and the Lord and you and your senior pastor. I think, though, at the end of the day, regardless of preference, if it causes my brother to stumble, it's just not worth it. Yeah. And if you have to explain it to make him not stumble, just move on. There's a lot of other songs out there. And if you don't like those, write your own and let Bethel pick it up later. So, all right, last quick answer here. This says number one piece of advice for new worship leaders or just any worship leader here today. Just some quick spurts here.
Just practice, practice, practice. Get before the Lord, pull all those songs out, find your wheelhouse songs, stay in that lane.
That was a word from the Lord, practice. You guys heard it, so.
Never stop having your own personal worship time. Don't just only time you pick up your guitar is to practice for the next set, but make space to kind of like rest to just sit before the Lord and cry out and play your heart out, you know, kind of just going back to the heart of worship. It's all about him, you know, that you keep in that space.
I would say, remember why people come. They come to meet with Jesus. They don't come to hear the band from the record. They don't come to see a dynamic performance or to have you lead them into an encounter. They want to meet Jesus. And so if you disappear and they see Jesus, then you've accomplished what you were brought to do.
I would say that you need to be aware that something about a stage with spotlights or something like that, it can be a nesting ground for pride to rise up in you or in people on the worship team, and you need to be very, very aware of that because God resists the proud. So you need to, again, be in the Word daily, and it should be, it was mentioned, but like worshiping out of the overflow of the life that you are worshiping the Lord with Monday through Saturday, and that should, Sunday morning is just an overflow of that.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, just kind of in line with like guarding the purity of your worship, you know, I think I'm a perfectionist and I'm very critical of myself, and so I can get up on stage and be so caught up in doing playing the correct thing and not making mistakes and singing perfectly, and if I make a mistake then I'm beating myself up, and you know, learning how to steward your ministry well and then being willing to just hold it all with open hands before the Lord when it comes time to worship, just let it go and just worship the Lord, you know. It's so easy to just get so caught up in making sure everything's going correct and leading your team that you're not in the presence of God. And so let go of all of that and just enter into the presence of the Lord and don't let that stumble you.
Yeah, and if you practice, 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 then you can worry less about that stuff on Sunday because you just are just going to just go do it, muscle memory, all that kind of stuff, and you can actually put your mind and your attention where it should be in that moment.
Yeah, when you're looking at a chart because you don't know the song real well, you know where the chords are coming. That's not a nice place to be. I'd highly encourage memorization, like all your whole catalog as much as you can. At least like your 30 core songs or so, know them backwards and forwards. You could do them in your sleep. You could change keys. You could go from harmony to melody. You know, it takes a while and it does take practice and woodshedding, but do it.
I would just add to that, you know, be flexible. I'm a creature of habit, and after Easter, the Monday after Easter, I walked into my office and I picked up all the notes I had from our meetings about Easter and all the things we're doing, and I said, okay, I'm going to save this to look back on next year, and in that moment, I felt like God just said, no, throw it away. Next year is a new year, and you know, when I get stuck in the routine and I get stuck in what I'm doing, then it's all about me. You know, I've got art, but I want to have the heart behind it as well, so just be flexible. You want to be flexible and open to what your pastor, you know, where God is leading him, and you know, you're submitting to that and following that as well, and just be open for anything. If we're not open to it, Holy Spirit won't have much room to work there, and so sometimes you just got to throw the the rule book out the window, the game book out the window. So